Brothers and sisters, I proclaim to you this afternoon the word of our God as we could read it from Deuteronomy, Psalm 78, and Ephesians chapter 6, as it comes to us particularly in the fifth word of the covenants that God has established also with you and me. The fifth word, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. In Lord's Day 39, the church confesses what the Lord requires of us and teaches us in this commandment. Lord's Day 39, what does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me. Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. That fifth commandment, congregation, well known to us, tells us to honor dad and mom. And more, all in authority over us. It's probably good to mention first up that this commandment runs strongly against the trends of our contemporary society. Modernism, and that's what used to be predominant in Western society, celebrated the mind. Logical thought, calm research, so place for debate. How do you interpret data correctly? And all of it requires interaction between people, and so place for authority. For someone to say, this is how it is. But ours is a postmodern society. And postmodernism celebrates not the mind, but celebrates feelings. How I experience things, how I feel about things, that's important. So, who are you to tell me about what's right or wrong? That my feelings are illegitimate. That's why postmodernism is marked by individualism. I decide on my truth. Which in turn means no room for authority. For being told what to think or told what to do. Told what the right rules are. So if your name is Bruce and you feel like you're a woman, you can call yourself Caitlin. And make the necessary changes. And even be named Woman of the Year. For truth depends on self. How you see things. Now, that's the society, the culture we're living in which parents raise children and children live with parents. What might God's fifth commandments have to say to us in a postmodern context? As it is, God gives each commandment for a reason. He didn't just pick 10 commandments at random. This command, too, has a reason behind it. It turns out to be evidence of God's profound care, of his love for his people. Older and younger alike, he wants informed and encouraged in terms of his grace. That grace is to be passed on from one generation to the other. And therefore, the fifth commandment. So I summarize this sermon with this theme: God makes it possible for parents to teach his children. I ask your attention for 3 points. The first is, why is this commandment needed? The second is, what do parents tell their children? And the third, when do children get their reward? First then, why is this commandment needed? You're very aware, brothers, sisters, older and younger, that God spoke the Ten Commandments while the people were gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai. From the foot of this mountain, the people of Israel could look to the top and see there the smoke and the fire, could hear the thunder, the trumpet blasts, could feel the rumbling, the quaking of the mountain. Here was God in their midst, a God of glory, majesty. He brought them out of Egypt. And he told them they're on their way to the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. We'd say, this is a great time to be alive. Look what's ahead for the young people. No slavery, but their own property. A glorious land of opportunity. Good to be alive. What do you think? Could the children tap into the wisdom of the parents? The parents, well, all they knew was being slaves in Egypt. They'd never owned property. They never had to think for themselves. They were told what to do day in, day out. The whips cracked over their backs. Could the young people rely on their parents for wisdom, for guidance? Or might it be so that the youth at the foot of the mountain had to find their own way? This is opportunity. And the old folk, they're out of date. Then there's this voice from the mountain. It announces to the old and the younger at the foot of the mountain, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It's the gospel. Deliverance. It's by my hand that you're no longer slaves. And it will be by my hand that you receive a promised land. And this God continues. Because this is who I am, your God. Because this is who you are, my people. Therefore, first commandment, no other gods before me. This is who to worship. And second, no graven images. This is how do you worship this God. And third commandments, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is esteem who this God is. Hold him high. Never belittle. And fourth, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. This is what's in it for you. What's the value of being my people? I will care for you. I will supply your every need. You can rest in me. Good. And the voice on the mountain continues. I am your God. You're my people. Therefore, honor dad and mom. Why that command? We need to be aware, congregation, God works in the generations. Postmodern thinking, our Western thinking, wants to separate generations so that the old are the old and they're out of date, and the young one, they're the young. Theirs is the future. But God thinks and works in terms of families. So, he tells the young people at the foot of the mountain, honor dad and mom. We understand there's an implication for dad and mom. Ensure you can be honorable. Who's at the foot of the mountain? Only older people? Who does God mean when he says, I am your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt? We do understand. That's the older. And the younger, including the teenagers, including the children, including the infants, all, says God, are my people. I am the Lord your God from newborn to aged. Problem is, not everybody at the foot of the mountain had a memory about what Egypt was like. I know, it's only 3 months or four since they left Egypt. But the newborn, the one-year-old, the two-year-old, doesn't have much recollection then of what Egypt was about. On top of that, it pleased the Lord to give more children as the days and the weeks and the months go by. At Mount Sinai, children were born. And it was the intent of God that as the families move into the promised land and settled there, they would grow, would multiply. There's a new generation of children coming up. And of all of them, God says, I'm the Lord, your God. Would these children, could these children at Mount Sinai, or not yet born, grasp what deliverance in Egypt, deliverance from slavery in Egypt was about? Now we understand they wouldn't grasp it all by themselves. They wouldn't even recall it. The sacrifice of the Passover lamb that the people had to perform every year. Did the kids get that? Did the teenagers get that? You see, that is why the Lord gives particular instruction. All these people, older and younger, are mine. So, says God, I want one generation to tell the next generation what this deliverance from Egypt was all about. I want you to explain, says God, to the older grandparents' parents, what it meant that you were slaves in Egypt. So that children and grandchildren come to understand the value of the Exodus, of the deliverance. As God put it in Exodus 13, when your child asks you in time to come, what is the significance of this lamb, Passover? Says God, then you shall say, and there's a whole story that people have to tell the children in relation to the Exodus and the death of the firstborn and how the lamb had to be killed and the blood put around the door and what that all meant. There is redemption from sin only through the death of an other. There was a task to teach the gospel. That's also why God said what he said in Deuteronomy 4. This is 40 years after Mount Sinai, after Exodus 20, and the Lord repeats to the people in Deuteronomy 4 how important it is for one generation to tell another of all the statutes and all the decrees and all the ordinances that God has given to his people at Mount Sinai in the desert. Make them known, verse 9, to your children and your children's children. How in the days of before the Lord your God at Sinai, the Lord said, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words. And God spoke that word of gospel. I'm your God, I set you free. That same instruction was repeated again in chapter 6. There the Lord was emphatic. You shall teach these commands diligently to your children. And you could see it, can you not, in the eye of your mind? How the dads and the moms in Israel, and the granddads and grandmoms too, had to make a point of teaching the children as they sat in the house they would inherit on the other side of the Jordan, as they walked along the roads in the land of promise, when they lay down and when they rose. It was the instruction of God to parents to spend time with their kids in front as the kids were watching the TV, the Jerusalem newscasts. How do you analyze these news? What do you think of the Philistines and what they're up to? What do you make of the crossing of the Red Sea we just had? What do you think of the commands of God that you must do this and you may not do that? Kids have questions. Parents have questions. And the idea was, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. In other words, brothers, sisters, and that includes the boys and the girls, behind the fifth commandment is God's love, is God's care. God wants the children to know He is their God. Those children are His children. But tell me, lads, how do you feel when Dad sets you down and says, I want to talk to you? Do you like that? And your reaction is going to be, oh, there goes Dad again. I got more to do. It's human nature, perhaps. But that's exactly why God gave you the fifth commandment. When Dad sets you down, you're meant to honor Dad. But Mom's got something to say to you. You're meant to honor her. And you're meant to listen. And respect the time that she takes to talk to you. You see, there's the fifth commandment. That God gives space for parents to instruct children. specifically tells the children to adopt an attitude of being willing to be taught. Be headstrong, as in, I know it myself, I'll figure it out. The Lord says, no, adopt a spirit willing to be taught. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ. In glory with the Father from all eternity. The Father told him to go to earth, Christmas. To leave behind the glory of heaven for the shame, the humiliation of the crib. It's what Jesus says. The Father sent me. John 4. What was Jesus' response? Didn't have time for his Father. Headstrong, he figured out for himself. Resist. None of that, even though the way the Father directed Jesus' life was difficult, Jesus accepted it. He submitted to his heavenly Father. He honored his Father in heaven. And it's equally true in relation to the parents the heavenly Father gave him on this earth. Luke chapter 2, after Jesus was in the temple at age 12 and his parents finally found him there, I read, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Was submissive. Who was Joseph? His dad. He was a sinner. And Mary, his mother, was a sinner. And Jesus, perfect. Easy for him to submit to his dad and mom? Twasn't. I can't begin to fathom how a sinless boy could submit to sinful parents. But this is what Jesus did. And why did he do it? Because the Lord God had given to him the fifth commandment. God told him to honor his dad and mom. And so he did. Submitted to Joseph and Mary. Now that attitude of submission, of humility, is to characterize every child of God. Can it? Yes. For the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ has been poured out into your hearts, brothers, sisters, I mean boys, girls. That's the gospel of Pentecost. So the older and the younger would receive the Holy Spirit. So you can adopt that attitude of humility, of submission, that your Savior adopted. You see, that is why the church says in Lord's Day 39, which God required this commandment, that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me. Can you do it? You've received the Spirit, boys, girls, and you can submit to dad and mom. God knows they're sinners, but he gives this command because he loves you. And he wants you to put yourself in a position where you can learn from mom and dad. It raises the next question. When does that command to submit run out? When you become a teenager? When you get your license? When you make profession of faith? When you're 20? When you get married? When does the command run out? That brings me to our second point. What are parents to tell the children? The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, means that parents need to be honorable, able to be honored. They're needing to unpack the instruction of God to God's children. You, my son, my daughter, are God's child. God said so. Do parents have to stop saying that when the kids turn 15, 18, 22, 30? No. You keep on encouraging the children, you are God's child. And it's all very true that how you do it differs as the child gets older. You don't treat a 14-year-old as you treat a 4-year-old. And as a 24-year-old, it's different again. But always, God's command in Deuteronomy 4 remains valid. That command to teach children and your children's children who they are. What happened at Mount Sinai? What God's done in giving deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from sin, from Satan, in Jesus Christ. The point is, parents need to talk. Parents need to keep on talking to their children. It is simply not sufficient, dads, moms, to take your child to church. Send them to John Calvin, to Guido, to catechism, precon. As if that's your duty, and all you need to do is, well, feed them, pay the school fees. No, you must talk. You must teach. Teach what? Simply the details of God's revelation, Bible facts, Bible doctrine, what's right, what's wrong? No, there is so much more that you need to teach. You need to pass on. Like what? Look. If you are to be honorable, able to be honored, then you're going to need to show your children that you are real people. Your children experience life's struggles, difficulties as real. That's life. But if you cast yourself to your children as above the difficulties, beyond the temptations, people who never fail, perfect, then you are not credible. Then you make it far more difficult for your children to honor you, submit to you. Because you're a cut above them. In other words, brothers and sisters, we parents need to share with our children the struggles that we've had in the past, and have in the present. The failures, the sins of the past and of the present. What you've learned through what you've experienced in the school of life. What you are learning in the school of life. Color it in for them. Buddy, this is what I went through. This is what I did. I'm not proud of it. This is what I learned. This is how God has guided me. This is what the faith means to me, given my history. You've got to talk about these kinds of things simply because this is what's going through your children's heads. They're struggling with their own weaknesses. If you want to help them, show them you can stand beside them. And then show them how the faith works for you. That becomes the more important in our postmodern culture, where feelings are everything, where experience is everything. Well, tell them of your experiences and how you felt and what the gospel means to you. Is this new? Brothers, sisters, we read a portion of Psalm 78. The first part of that psalm is so very well known. That part about parents telling children and grandchildren about the mighty deeds of the Lord. Ah, we know it well. We sing the first couple of stanzas often. We will this afternoon again. We appeal to Psalm 78 as one of the reasons for Reformed education. And rightly so. But we need to know that that psalm is an awful lot longer than 8 verses. As a matter of fact, verse 8 is, right, we should tell the children, why, verse 8, that the children should not be like their fathers. A stubborn and rebellious generation, a harsh generation whose heart is not steadfast, spirit not faithful to God. Then the psalm goes on to describe the sins of the fathers. What the parents around Mount Sinai were to tell the people of Israel was not simply the mighty deeds of God with the Exodus, the plagues, the Red Sea, the manna, the mountain quaking. The next generation wasn't simply to tell the same and then add all about the tabernacle. But this psalm says the fathers told the children about our rebellion in Egypt, our disobedience in the desert. Once we got to the land of promise, how we didn't do what God commanded us to do. All the misery of the book of Judges, resulting ultimately in the ark being taken away by the Philistines into exile. The parents had to make a point of talking about sin. Not as theory. Not as the kids' sins. But as their own sins. And their parents' sins before them. The people we esteem. Talk about brokenness. They had to. Now, the point is not that parents have to tell everything. Lay all your dirty laundry in front of your children. That's not the point. But there is something between telling everything and telling nothing. One can rewrite history so that grandpa was a perfect man. And so was Grandma. And so's Dad and Mom. You can also rewrite history so that Grandpa was a total failure. I know that's true too. But there is something in between. Talking about the struggles as Grandpa faced it in real life and how he responded. Talking about the struggles we face as parents and how we fail. And how God still turns it for good. Or the struggles and how we responded in a fashion pleasing to the Lord and that by God's grace. But speak candidly, brothers, sisters, about real life. You want your children to honor you? Then you can't cast yourself as detached from where they're at. You need to be real. It's clear from Psalm 78. From Psalm 71 too, we sang it. That the generations need to connect the older with the younger. The very old with the much younger. Multiple generations connect, share, talk. It's something that needs to be encouraged, brothers, sisters. Yes, particularly our postmodern society. Let the generations be busy talking, sharing real life stories. Please, brothers, sisters, don't hide the past. Don't paint the past more rosy than it was. Speak of your failures. Go ahead. And God's mighty preservation in the failures. That's what the kids need to hear. How else will they receive the stimulation to keep on going in the face of their own failures? Now the third point. When do children get their reward? You see, children have to honor parents. Parents need to speak candidly with the children. Is it worth it? Or is it all embarrassing? For parents and children alike, perhaps. The fifth commandment is the only commandment with a promise attached to it. Honor dad and mom, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The land the Lord your God is giving you. God speaking to Israel at Mount Sinai. He's thinking about the promised land on the far side of the Jordan River. The land of Canaan. God's intent. I've taken you out of Egypt. Out of slavery. I'm going to give you a glorious land. And I want you to live long in that land. What would happen, though, if the young people coming into the promised land and the not so young refuse to honor dad and mom and refuse to learn the lessons that God taught through a previous generation's experiences? What would happen? Then the children would not live long in the land God would give to them. How's that? Well, consider Deuteronomy 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or his mother, and though they discipline him, he will not listen, his father and mother shall take hold of him
and ultimately stone him. Tough. Hard. Yes. But this is God's care for his own. He does not want space for rebellion, for disobedience. You would do well. You want a bright future? Honor dad and mom. The Lord insists on it, that you be open to their instruction, what it means to belong to God. Consider, too, the book of Judges. The people of Israel settled in the land. But they go and serve other gods. And what happens? Well, the Philistines take them captive. The Midianites take them captive. The ark disappears. Problems. They don't live long in the land. And ultimately, the land spewed them out. Right? Exile into Babylon. But that is equally true in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says it emphatically in the passage right from Ephesians chapter 6. Children, honor your parents, obey your parents. This is the first command with a promise, he adds. And the whole point is, if you would live long in God's blessing, in God's kingdom, treasure what your parents tell you. The apostle's reference there is not to a block of land as it was in Canaan. The New Testament is insistent. Christians will even be martyred on account of the faith. Live long? Maybe not. You can lose everything. But this earth is where Christ will come to live with God's people forever. You would live long in the land God has given you, this earth. Then honor dad and mom. It is the evildoers who will be swept off this earth. It is they who receive a place in the fires of hell. And you, God's people, here. You would inherit that? Treasure the instruction of dad and mom. Now, what do you think? Is that true for older young people too? Or only for kids? That's true for older young people too. Which is why, teenagers, and beyond, into the 20s, be open with your parents. If you can't be open with dad and mom, I tell you, you will be living in sin. Why else would you not want to be open with them? And you think then you will inherit the New Jerusalem? Dare to be open with your parents. God's given them to you for a reason. Make the most of them. Use them. Their wisdom. Their instruction. Where does it leave us all? They were very aware of our shortcomings as parents, as children. And that is why I'm so thankful for Christ's perfect obedience. He obeyed this fifth commandment with never a fault. And as a result, there is forgiveness for all our sins against the fifth commandment as children and as parents. And Christ, he took our sins upon himself. He didn't live long, only 33 years in the land, and he died and arose because he atoned for your sins and mine. And the result? He's King of Kings, and he comes again soon. And when he comes, all the glorious benefits of the promised land are yours. And you live with him eternally. My brothers, sisters, the younger, honor dad and mom. The older, be honorable for your children's sake. So much is at stake here. Your God loves you. That's why he's telling you this. Amen.